at the pointy end, it doesn't matter about the colour of the person that stands at your shoulder to keep you safe. It doesn't matter about whether they're gay or straight. It doesn't matter about whether they're Christian or Muslim. It doesn't matter about whether they hate the colour purple and you love the colour. They'll stand by your shoulder and they'll keep you safe because they know anything that goes bang, anything that can kill you, doesn't care about the colour of your skin.
My name is Ron Bradfield Jr. I am a Bardi Umbra, that is a man of the Bardi peoples at the tip of the Dampier Peninsula outside of Broome, saltwater people. But I grew up in Geraldton and I ended up in Boorloo as a result of leaving the Navy in the late 90s. And the circumstances that had me sign up really was that if I'd stayed in a place like Geraldton at the time, as a young Aboriginal man, eventually I probably would have gone to jail. It was just the nature of how things were between the police and young Aboriginal people, especially men then, and how we were targeted and how racist things were in those country towns in Western Australia at the time. So being in an army uniform meant that I could hide in an army uniform and not attract attention. And same thing with a Navy uniform. HMAS West Australia was a big floating rust bucket. Well, really, it was a floating servo. It had bowsers on it and it fueled other ships. And my job was to drive the fuel hoses and put them on the other ship so that they could plug it in and pump themselves up. And we were a very tight crew. We were not like a warship's crew, which were much bigger. West Australia had us living in relative comfort compared to a warship at sea, but we had really complex other, you know, jobs that we actually were all responsible for. As soon as the next level of threat, if you like, goes up, so you might go to what's called action stations. You sit in your core role, but then you sit in all your responding roles. So my other job during those times, during emergency stations, an action station was to be a firefighter in the aft part of the ship. So I was part of the firefighting team that would go into the engine room and fight through the superstructure in order to shut down fires. I left the Navy in 1997. And on the 5th of May in 1998, I got called into the lounge room by my partner. And she'd stepped back from the TV, and on the TV I could see smoke pouring from an aerial shot from a helicopter out of the ship's funnel of HMAS West Australia. And I think right from that moment, my world started to spin apart. I don't know that I even thought about what happened next. I just acted. And the next thing I know, I'd snatched the keys up, jumped in the car, and I'd just screamed off. I just went to the nearest beach. There were just all the leftover beaches and sheds of the fellmongers and other things that were along the Fremantle, South Fremantle coast, where I could watch, see, I guess, witness. I don't know. I just remember screaming up, you know, screeching to a halt, climbing out of my car. And as I'd driven to that spot, I could see my ship out there in the water. And it's almost like what I could do is just reach out and touch it. And by that stage, HMAS Adelaide had also arrived and was rendering aid, and the smoke was pouring out of the funnels and helicopters were whirring. And I just remember stumbling down the beach into the water fully clothed and walking out until I was over chest deep, just reaching out to the ship and wishing that what I could do was be the sailor that I once was on that ship. Because when I served on that ship, my job was to fight fires in that very same space where the fire and smoke was pouring out of right now. And we all knew that the engine room was a serious, major risk, and that to fight that, it would cost people their lives. And I just howled, really, in my helplessness, watching that ship burn and all the activity occurring around it, all of which I knew, all of which I'd known intimately. I could have closed my eyes and put myself in the position of that person that stepped into the space with the attack hose to shut down the fire. in the first moment, because that would have been me. All the support people that help keep that person alive, all the teams that operate in the background to make sure that the air cylinders are full, that people take off their breathing apparatus and put on the next one so they can step in and fight the fire again. That's being cycled over and over. If you're lucky, you last 20 minutes inside a space with two full cylinders of air. And that they're watching each other and keeping each other safe. The heat that sort of sits around you, it's hot. You're down on your knees trying to let the hot air go over the top of you. You can't see because it's so black from smoke inside that you can't even see your hand in front of your mask. And all you have guiding you is the fire team leader who has a thermal imaging camera that's sitting over your shoulders, and he's pointing you by rotating your shoulders and screaming in your ear, go up, go down, go right, go left, as you point the hoses at things and try and put out the fire. The only thing that lets you get back out is you can follow the hoses, and that's your lifeline out. And I'm imagining all of this, and I'm in that water. And my cheeks are wet. I'm adding my salt water to the salt water that I'm chest deep in. And there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing. There's just nothing. And then I see a helicopter break away and head off, and I've realised that what's happened is the injured are being evacuated off of West Australia. And I can see it break out and over me, and it's heading towards Fiona Stanley Hospital, or that area, St. John of God. And I just charge out of the water, climb back into my car soaking wet. And I start up the car and I spin it round and I race off and I chase that helicopter all the way. And I go through lights and I scream to a halt. I get out and I race inside. The staff are looking at me like, who the hell are you, you crazy madman? And I just say one thing, West Australia crew, where are they? And she looks at me and she realises I'm not one of the camera crews that have chased the helicopter also back. I said, they're my mates. I've just gotten off. Where are they? And she says, children's ward. We're hiding them in the children's ward. And I race up and I burst into tears all over again as I engulf my first mate and just hug him tight. And every single other one of them, hurt, burnt, bandaged, scared, upset. And we hold each other tight and we sit there in our silence. And that moment stays with me for years afterwards as I try and make sense of something that I could absolutely do nothing about, not one single thing. It took 20 years for the lead firefighting team that went into that space and recover the bodies of those who died to be recognised officially for the bravery in which they did that. And it killed sailors. One of them was a mate of mine. It's hard carrying around things that aren't directly yours, but are at the same time too. I was out of the Navy. I was no longer serving on board the ship. I wasn't part of that crew. But what happened in that time and what happened on that day hasn't left me. And I still wake up at night at times, feeling that warmth of a fire and bits around me. But being the care bear that I am, I still keep a West Australia crew that I serve with close by, those mates of mine that I remember well, and we catch up as often as we can to take care of each other still today. And we still bag each other out, but what we actually really all do is we just keep an eye on each other and see how we're travelling.